everyone, and welcome to the Glad to Podcast. I am Lauren Romo. With me, as always, is my cousin and fellow nerd, Andrea Gutierrez.
Yo, yo, yo.
Greetings.
Salutations.
Bright suns.
Oh, man, my phone just vibrated. My bad.
I didn't hear it, so I think you're good. Didn't pick up on the audio. Cool. What's going on, cuz?
Chilling.
Yeah, let's talk about it. It's been a little bit since we were able to record.
Again, yeah. They dropped a double episode on us when we were not expecting it.
Right.
So now we're like four behind instead of three behind.
Right. With Easter and just work stuff. So we're a little bit behind, but we're going to pop these out. So this is going to be episodes 8 and 9 of The Bad Batch. So we got a lot to talk about today. Four. Sure, a lot of good stuff happened, I believe, especially in one episode that we'll get to.
Oh, yeah.
It was really good stuff, really good stuff. But before we get to all that, if this is your first time listening to us, welcome. We are a Star Wars podcast that discuss anything and everything within that galaxy far, far away. In each episode, we will dive into one or two topics and have a general discussion on them. Topics could be movies, TV series, books, comics, a specific character, you name it, and we talk about it. All right, Ange. Ooh-wee. Episodes 8 and 9. So I'm going to do this first. So episode 8 was called Bad Territory. It was directed by Nate Villanueva. Writer and story editor was Matt Michnovitz. So I think he's been the story editor for everything so far.
He's been fire.
Yeah, and I think he also has had some writing. I'm not sure directing. I don't recall, but writing. He's had some, besides this one, he's had some credits too. So, stellar job by this entire crew. And then we'll get to it, but then the next episode was The Harbinger, which was directed by Stuart Lee, written by Ms. Jennifer Corbett, and then obviously story editor, like I said, Matt Michnovitz. So, a lot to talk about. Let's start, as we always do, Ange, your overall thoughts on both. We'll get into it. But overall thoughts, opinions, feelings, highs, lows for episodes 8 and 9. How'd you watch it? How'd you view it? Let's talk about it.
It was so long ago, I don't even remember when I watched it or how I watched
it.
That's fair. I'm going to be dead serious. I haven't been watching things at work.
So it's got to be home then, right? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All I know is two of my favorite female characters showed up in these two episodes. So that was so fun. Absolutely love Fennec Shand. And Ventress is just number one on both of our lists. So that was great as well, too, to finally see that, because we've been waiting since we saw the trailer for this upcoming season, or for this season. Animation outstanding, just lights out. It's so good to watch. I rewatched it again this morning. It's just beautiful. It's so good. The story with Crosshair and Omega is going along really great. And then just Omega overall, like, we're starting to get a little bit of answers on what's going on with her. So I was happy with both. I mean, honestly, I haven't been disappointed this season at all. And, you know, just two really good, like, guest appearances just really topped it off for these two episodes.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. I think, again, because I'm such an Asajj fan, obviously I will say The Harbinger was more more to my liking. But I loved Bad Territory because, again, it moves the story along, right? And, well, I mean, we'll obviously talk about it a little bit more, but it was just our mission of the week for that episode, which was fine. It's not, I don't consider it a filler. Some people would and probably do, but it moves the story along because we still got to get from point A to point B. And this was a part of that journey. And we got some really good Omega and Crosshair stuff that we'll talk about in Bad Territory for sure. But yeah, having these two stellar female characters show up was fantastic. Fennec is just so badass. And as Asajj is as well. So it was fun to see these characters do their thing. And again, learn a little bit more about Asajj. And again, Fennec too, kind of learning what she's all about as she, you know, as we go through that episode with her and Wrecker and Hunter. That was a lot of fun. I mean, again, like you're saying, the animation is just so good. Like, it's just ridiculous.
It is so beautiful.
You and I are both on the train of, when is the next full theatrical animation movie?
It needs to happen.
I think it's time. Like, I think we're at a point where the animation is there, and it's just like how all the characters and everything. I think it'd be a really perfect time to do an animation theatrical, my opinion. And I know you're with that as well. So yeah, and the music, we can't.
Kiner's always knock it out.
I mean, they're so good. The brother sister duo, so good. Like,
so good.
It's amazing. Like, again, the cues, just the beats, the melodies, like, it's just, they're just great. And I hope we see them do some type of live action something, because that would be amazing.
Well, I know Kevin Kiner is supposed to be doing the Dave Filoni movie, right?
Yes, I think that's been rumored, right, which would make sense. I mean, Kiner's been working with Dave for how long now, right? Since Clone Wars. So, like, it's a long time.
2006, 2008?
Yeah, it's a long time. Long time they've been working together, so.
Hey, what'd you think about, there were some gripes on the socials about the darkness of the Bad Territory. Like, it was too dark. Like, yes, it's dark, but, and it's funny because I talked about this earlier in a previous episode, how I actually like that they're playing with the darkness and saturating the entire scene instead of just creating, like, oh, it's a dark background and you can still see. Like, I find it really fascinating that every time you can tell, like, where the source of light is in the animation, and it hits the characters correctly.
Right.
So I have no problem with the darkness. It is pretty, it can be pretty dark. And I think, like, if someone isn't a Bad Batch fan, they might find it frustrating, or it doesn't entice them to want to watch it because it's not, like, bright and vibrant. But I didn't mind it. Did you?
No, I have no problems with it. When I watch it, you know, because when I do watch, I watch in the morning. And so it's kind of not bright out anyway at the time. So, like, I'm fine with it. And it never really bothered me before because, again, maybe it's just because how I have my TV set up. Like, I can see, even like you're saying, even if it is, like, a little bit darker, I don't care. I think it kind of gives more of a ambiance to, like, those scenes, right? Like,
agreed.
Like, in Bad Territory, when they were going after that bounty, again, we'll get into it in a little bit, but, like, where you couldn't really see Siler, like, that, yeah, that kind of, like, you could barely make him out, but that was part of, I think, again, part of kind of, like, the horror of it, of that scene and everything. So I don't mind it. I mean, I get it. People, like you're saying, I think people that maybe, A, aren't used to it, because I think if you have watched recent TV shows where this comes up, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it's just how the directors and how the team feel like this is the best for that, you know, for that episode, right?
So yeah, I agree. You
know, it's their creative choice, and it is what it is. If you don't like it, then that's fine. You can always brighten your TV up. I don't know what to tell you. Like, it is what it is. I mean, this is what they, how they creatively wanted to do that, you know, those scenes or whatever. And I'm not going to besmirch them for that at all. That's their call. Yeah. And, oh, well, I mean, again, if you're a Game of Thrones fan, you lived through the battle at Winterfell.
That was kind of bad, though.
I don't think it was bad. I think it was.
It was a little bad.
Again, maybe that's just my opinion. I don't think it was bad.
It wasn't terrible. I mean, I got the terrible point. Like, right, you weren't really supposed to. You were supposed, right, to feel on edge. You weren't supposed to know what was coming around the corner. But it would be nice to be able to see something.
Right. And just like you were saying, though, with the light, though, too, I think what
the source of light
does,
yeah,
the animation does well.
Great.
Especially in previous episodes, especially when that one where you had Rex and Commander Wolf, and all you could see is the ship lights and everything else was kind of like dark around it. That was a good shot.
Yeah, all of it. It's so good. It's very realistic. It's very true to like what you would see. It's great.
Yep, I agree. I mean, it is. I get people. I mean, I get it. I get where people might have a problem with it, but I personally don't. I don't like it. It's fine. It's fine for me. What about so it doesn't take you out at all either? Then, right? I mean, you're fine with it.
I love it. If anything, it draws me in a little bit more. I agree. Because I appreciate it so much more. It's great.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it does pull you into those scenes a lot more. So, especially, again, as we're talking about bad territory now. Yeah, they definitely made this a darker kind of setting. But it matched the mood, right? It matched the mood of this episode where it was kind of a little bit darker. And, you know, you're on this Star Warsy, you know, Everglades planet.
Yeah, Dagobah looking. Yeah.
I mean, it just, that's the feeling they went with, and I loved it. And it's that side mission of the week. Totally fine, right? It was a great, I like the story where they went to Fennec, right? And that's who they went to. They figured they could get information from her, and she obviously made a deal as she's a bounty hunter. And said, I can get you the information. I don't have it, but you need to do something for me. And I like the distinction that she makes with Hunter and Wrecker, because they're the ones that go. And obviously Omega and Crosshair stay on Pabu. And, you know, Fennec tells them both, like, we're not working together. It's you work for me.
Right.
Like, here's the rules. It's either take it or leave it. And I love Fennec for that. And again, I like the Siler. I like the bounty that they went after. New creature. I don't think we ever kind of seen his design before, like a praying mantis esque.
He looked good. He looked like that one thing, Rango. What was that movie? There was an animated movie with like a chameleon and like Johnny Depp was his voice.
Yeah, I think it is Rango.
He looked just like that.
Close. You know, it reminded me of the, again, if on a bigger scale, that creature in Attack of the Clones that's in the arena.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But
smaller version.
I think that's what it was.
So, again, maybe it's, I don't know if it's a one for one, but in that vein, kind of similar, you know, similar creature. And he was, again, it was cool. Like, he took tons of hits, tons of stuns. Yeah, that was impressive. So his outer shell must be very, very tough. I like how they use, you know, Fennec knew how to use Hunter and Wrecker at what they're really good at, right? Hunter's good at tracking. Wrecker's good at explosive and, you know, all that stuff. So there were parts where they had to both use, like, those skills on this mission, right? So I loved all that. Ange, what about you? Talking about, again, the Fennec, Hunter, Wrecker stuff. Like it, loved it. Anything stood out to you during those scenes? What you got?
I love it how Fennec isn't, like, completely likable, right? You're not like, oh, man, she's so awesome. You're like, wow, she just really doesn't want to. She really wants to use them for her advantage, and she's all about money. And so there's like kind of this feeling like you're not sure if she's a good guy, bad guy or whatever. And
right.
I always love it when they bring up the good guy, bad guy, you know, no difference. So, yeah, I love seeing Hunter and Wrecker in action. I just, you know, I love seeing their skills being displayed. That was really cool about this episode, too, like Hunter tracking and then Wrecker being able to. I loved when Wrecker threw that huge crocodile thing, man. It was so good.
Right. We got space crocodiles.
Yeah. So, I mean, overall, just the dynamic of those three, I could watch those three going out on missions all the time, honestly. I thought it was really great. And I really just liked that they kept Fennec kind of, you know, on the line of you're not sure if she's really going to help or she just needs something to help herself. So it was great.
Yeah, because the end, like when they do catch Siler and they're, you know, and they're back at like she's dropping Hunter and Wrecker off. You know, she says, I will, you know, she told them before, I don't have the information, but I will get it to you. And it's like you're saying, it's like they have to trust her. And then you really don't know, because when she gets on, when she goes into her ship and she makes that call, A, at the time, we don't know who that is. We obviously find out the next episode. But we don't know who that is. And we really, like you're saying, you don't know if she's doing it to capture them or if she actually is helping. So it is kind of a nice, she gives, I mean, very similar to when we met her in, what was it, Mandalorian.
Yeah, especially, I mean,
later on in Boba Fett, right?
Yeah.
You don't know what side she's on.
Yeah, I mean, it was very true to where we meet her character in other stories. So I liked that. I thought that was great. Because you knew she was somewhat of a good guy, because she was not like a good guy, but she...
She has a heart.
She had somewhat of a heart, right? Because she was helping Nala Say find Omega. Granted, there was money behind it, but she wasn't working for, you know, the wrong side or the devious side or whatever. So
like Cat Bane does.
Right. So she has somewhat of a moral compass, I guess you can say, it seems like.
Yeah, that's a good call.
And so I thought that was very well displayed for this episode.
Yeah, no, I agree. She is that character that has more of a moral compass than I think other bounty hunters that we know about. And again, I think to when you brought up the point of seeing Hunter and Wrecker use their skills, we don't really, I mean, really trying to go back, I don't think we really see them, or it's just like natural that we see them using those skills. But I feel like this episode, they really obviously focused on, you know, he's, again, like reminding everybody, he's good at tracking. He's good at, like, you know, explosives and all that stuff. So that was nice to kind of like go back to that and like focus on that instead of just trying to, like, you know, move, go save Omega or do this and that. You're kind of back into like what they're good at, right? When we first saw them in season 7 of Clone Wars, season 7 of Clone Wars, where you saw those skills, right, and everything. I agree with you, Andrew. I could watch a whole series of them just doing missions. I think it'd just be fantastic. They're really, it's a good trio to have for sure. Anything else? Because before we get into the little bit of the Omega Crosshair stuff.
Nope, I'm ready.
Yeah, I think I really like. This was subtle, the Omega and Crosshair stuff, but it's been building since the beginning of the season, right? The bonding that they have gone through since their escape from Tantus. And I just like, again, we get a little bit more of Crosshair and what's going on with his hand. You know, even Hunter tells Omega, you know, help him out. Right. That's what I want you to do while we're away. Help him out. See if AZ can do anything. Figure this out. And what we find out is that AZ did everything that he could, but AZ's kind of point was it might not be physical. It might be more of a mental type of situation with Crosshair. And I love that. I do. I like that they're going with that route, because we've kind of speculated, right, of what it could be. And I kind of like how it's not physical. It is more of a mental thing. That's kind of a new thing, right, for like our characters to do. It's not a just, oh, yeah, we got to fix your hand or give you a new hand, right, like Luke Skywalker or something like that. Like it's more yeah, of a.
Just let's throw you in the back tank and you'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. This is more of a struggle, and I like that. I mean, what's your thoughts on all that?
It's really interesting that it's done with a clone as well, too. I mean, because clones are created, programmed, all that kind of stuff. Of course, these are defective clones, defective air quotes.
Right.
But it is really interesting that they're going to the psychological aspect of Those types of things can affect you physically, you know, and right. can affect your health. So I think it's great that they're doing it that way. I think it's true as well too. You know, when you have anxiety, it tricks your body into feeling a lot of different things. So I'm on board for this. I love the way it's going, and I love the remedy that Omega attempts, you know, with the meditation. I think that's really, it was very awesome to see that.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because, yeah, I love that scene where she's, you know, teaching him how to, you know, exhale, inhale. And, you know, he's like, where did you learn all this, right? She's like, Kashyyyk. He was like, what? You were there?
Until that point, I was kind of like, man, they're really pushing this Omega has the Force already agenda very quickly, because I thought, like, what is Omega doing meditating like a Jedi, right? And relaxing her mind, like, all of a sudden she can do Jedi things. And I was like, what is going on? And then, like, when she mentioned, like, she learned it from Gunji when she was on Kashyyyk, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. I get it. I was kind of, you know, kind of forgot about that.
Yeah, it's again, it was a nice reminder that, yeah, she did meet a young Jedi, and he was just teaching her these simple, like, breathing techniques, you know, meditation. And I like that moment of between her and Crosshair, just doing that, and how he's kind of, you could tell, like, he's, like, kind of nervous or just anxious about, you know, doing this. And she turns his hand over, places her hand on top, and then, you know, he kind of calms down. He sees what she's doing, and then he starts doing it. And there's just that great shot of those two looking at the sunset with Badger, of course, right by their side. You got to love it. And again, it's just such a small moment, but it's so big for these two.
Yeah, it really shows Crosshair's growth and his connection with Omega. I think we're really starting to finally see Crosshair pull away from his old self, which is great because, I mean, think if you go season 1, season 2, we hated that guy.
We did.
He was a bad dude.
He was the bad guy.
Right? Talk about atonement what's the word I'm looking for?
Redemption.
Redemption. I mean, we're getting to see it in the pattern of what it needs to be. When you're correcting something that you've done in your past, it's really great.
Yeah, no, it is. And I like that we're seeing this with his character, because we don't really get to see it a lot in Star Wars. You and I have talked about that before, where a character is going down a redemption atonement path, right, of their choosing. And it's not like they, you know, are trying to atone and then they become one with the Force or whatever happens, right? This Ben character, Solo. RIP to a real one, but to their credit, they are doing that with this character. And they're also doing it with, I think, Asajj Ventress. So let's get to the big elephant in the room. Asajj is back, baby.
Real quick, when you just saw Fennec talking to someone, did you think she was talking to Asajj?
It crossed my mind because, A, just knowing, like, she was going to be in this season, I was like, okay, makes sense that it could be her. And then I was like, okay, it could be Cad, but I don't think it would have been Cad at that point. But yeah, it made sense. It crossed my mind that it was her, but I wasn't 100% sure, right? I mean, I was like, okay, yeah, it could be. It would make sense that Asajj and M-Count and all that stuff, it added up, but I wasn't 100% sure. What about you? Did you think right away, or did you have
thoughts? I did right away. Just because, again, we saw her in the trailer. We knew she's coming up. And we know her background from Dark Disciple, that she was not still on the path of, like, revenge or
right
or being an assassin or anything like that. She might still be a bounty hunter, but I think we're all pretty much from the clues that we've had from Kenobi and all that stuff that she's most likely helping protect Force-sensitive children. So I was all for it. I thought, like, we're finally going to see her. Like, here we go. Let's go.
And let's go indeed.
And we went.
So we went there. And it was amazing. I mean, I was fist pumping the entire time through this episode because it was fantastic. It was
classic Asajj.
Oh,
you know,
peak.
It was
peak
Asajj.
To the 10th degree, it was so good. Like, it was what I wanted as a fan. It was like, yep, this is her. It feels like her. It feels like this is what her journey would be coming back, being, you know, coming back from that, from death. And, you know, continuing down this path of her own atonement, as we talk about that, and redemption, right? Because of all the bad stuff, right? And they even mentioned that, right? They mentioned that to
her. Yeah, they pull her file and they're like, yep. Hang on a minute.
And they tell Omega, like, listen, she's not to be trusted. And I love Omega's, like, if she wanted you guys dead, she would have already, number one, which we'll get to that stuff. And then number two, I like how, you know, Crosshair, again, those two bonding, he was like, you know, you're naive to, you know, basically calling her naive to think that, you know, that they could trust Asajj. And she's like, I never gave up on you. So what's your excuse? So she made really good points. So, but yeah, you know, just seeing, I didn't recognize her ship. I don't know if that's her Banshee ship anyway. I don't think it is. But anyway, you see that, you know, what happens is that Omega goes into this cave. There's a ship there and it's Asajj. And then the Bad Batch obviously, like, go down there. She doesn't, again, she's not like capturing, she's not like holding Omega captive. She kind of gives her back. And that's when she says that, you know, she's Fennec like connection. And that she kind of goes into the whole M count explanation, which I love. I like that how she broke it down to where it was like basically just because it's in your blood doesn't mean you are force sensitive. Kind of what we have been told, really, right, since Rebels. I mean, I'll go back to Rebels and Kanan Jarrus's whole explanation during the Dark Saber Trials with Sabine. And then again, reinforced in Ahsoka, that just because you have this thing in your blood, it doesn't mean that you are...
You can wield the Force.
Right, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, she, you know, and Omega kind of pleads with her to, like, well, help me because I don't know what else to do. Right. And Asajj was like, all right, well, I'll test you. And I love the thought of Asajj being like a master ventress.
I know.
This was the greatest, like.
Where can I sign up? I want to be a Padawan and I choose this one.
I choose her. Because I just love it. Because, again, just how she was trying to explain everything to Omega, we had to remember that Omega's like, what, 12, between 12 and 14.
Something like that.
Let's say, right. And she's talking about, you know, your unconscious mind and everything. And Omega's like, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, so it just goes to show that, again, it's not easy being a master, I think, number one, clearly. But number two, that trying to explain it to a young person is difficult. They don't know what and I think that's part of why maybe Asajj is doing what she's doing, because she knows it's not even about the potential of what Omega has, but maybe the danger that she could, that she has endangered with herself, but endangered to others without knowing how to harness and wield this power appropriately, because she could do some damage, right? I mean, again, let out anger, right? What do we know about anger?
It's the dark side.
And it's the fastest path, right? And it, you use your emotions and stuff can get out of control. So I love this whole, I think, to me, my thoughts, and I want to get yours too, Ange. I think the reason she's doing this is, one, I think she genuinely cares, right? I think you're right where she, I think she's on this path of saving these four sensitive beings. Maybe working with Quinlan on the path and like getting them to safety. I think that might be it. And then number two, I think this is just who Asajj is now. Right. And I mean, just like she explained to the Bad Batch, like, I'm on my own side, man. I'm not with you or not with them. I'm me. I'm doing my own thing. So, I mean, either deal with it, but this is what I feel I'm doing is right, right? She's going down her own path. And I think that's part of why she's trying to help Omega. You know, I think there's a lot to it, right? It's not just trying to see if she has high M count. It's just, I think she's trying to save as many Force-sensitive kids maybe that she can. Right? And maybe that's why Fennec reached out to her, because maybe Fennec knows what she's doing. And like even Fennec said in the previous episode that like she doesn't do those bounties, but she knows people who does. So I the whole training stuff I loved, you know, I love when they're on the boat. The boat one is really great, and she shows Omega what you can do if you know how to do it right. I just love all that. So I mean, I want to get your thoughts, Ange, on the training. The training tips of Asajj Ventress. Again, sign me up for sure.
Yeah, it was the way they displayed or portrayed Omega was awesome, right? Very Luke Skywalker, very Rey. When Ventress tells her to reach out with the Force and she's like, reach out, I mean, that is completely Rey right there, you know? Because it is different when you have that feeling inside of you that there's supposed to be something else you're supposed to be doing with whatever, and you want to learn, but you have no idea what it is you're supposed to learn. And I like the resistance with her as well, too, just saying, like, oh, this rock is slippery. Can we, like, go somewhere else? Very Luke, right? Luke was always complaining about whatever he was doing, so.
With the blast shield down, I won't be able to see.
We love our whiny Luke.
So that was great. I mean, it really was a combination. Whether she ends up being able to wield the Force, I don't think it really matters. But I think seeing this process with her is pretty cool. So I'm just absolutely loving this. And, you know, the three tests, the first one and the last one were pretty legit. I think the second one was just to get her away so she could
100%, right.
Deal with Clone Force 99. It was great. So we don't have an answer, right? We have somewhat of an answer of whether she passed a test or didn't pass a test. I think it was Crosshair that told Asajj that she was lying when she said, like, you don't have the Force. So, and they were like, well, which part was I lying about? So, it is, you really don't know. You don't have an answer coming out of this episode of what Omega's path still is and whether she is going to be able to wield the Force. And you still don't even know what's going on with, Asajj either. So, you know, when people say like episodes like that are filler, like just really don't understand character development and, right. You know, the richness that it puts into a story to have these events that might not affect the outcome later, but at least gives you some perspective on what the characters are thinking and what they need to go through to get there. I think these two episodes display that just brilliantly. So I'm fine with not having all the answers after every single episode. I think that's what keeps people coming back. I think that's what makes a good story. Why would we, I mean, it feels good to like get a conclusion and then like have momentum going into the end. But this is the time where we need to just kind of absorb the story and learn new things about characters. And I think they are doing an excellent, excellent job. I mean,
they are. Yeah.
It was fantastic. And then to see Asajj in like all these different ways, you know, calming down the water beast or whatever that was, fighting against the Bad Batch and just completely owning them. That was outstanding too. And to see her as somewhat of a master was really, really, really cool. I loved all her different hairstyles, whether her hair was wet or dry or pushed back or pushed forward. I mean, she looked great every single way. So it was so cool. I loved it, you know, it was great.
Yeah. I think what I loved too is again, like the variation, like you're saying, of Asajj that we get, right? We get the badass. We get like this. Almost again, master like trying to teach Omega. Those two, I could take a whole series of those two just running around the galaxy, maybe helping force sensitive kids. Like, her lines of, you know, Omega was smiling at her. She's like, stop smiling, it's unsettling. Like, and she's like, you're an odd little clone. Like, I just love their interactions were so good. And I like, when she goes back to Asajj, like the, and without the Bad Batch, and, you know, she tells Asajj that, hey, you said no distractions, they're not here. And, you know, I just like how Omega was calling her out too, like, hey, listen, you're here. You could have left already, but you're here. You're here for a reason because I think you like us. And I think she called her out on it. Because I think Asajj did like her for, again, because I think she saw the potential, right? But I think Asajj, it's not that she wants a Padawan or anything like that. I think she generally wants to help these Force-sensitive beings, if they are, avoid the Empire. Because even that's what she told the Bad Batch. It's like, listen, I'm not your enemy. We were pawns in the same war, man. And the Empire is bad news. And you're not safe here. I mean, she did warning shot after warning shot to these guys, telling them that this is, you're in trouble. And then I like how she told them when she did, you know, like you're saying, when Crosshair called her out, but she didn't really give an answer. But she was basically saying, listen, even if she is, you're going to have to let her go because of what she has to go through to be trained. Right? Like, I mean, she is telling them the future, man. If this is the path we're going, right? If this is what we're leading to, is Omega maybe leaving the Bad Batch because she wants to either be trained? What, like you're saying, whether it's a high M count, low M count, whatever, it doesn't matter. If it's Omega's choice that she wants to be trained because she feels that maybe, and I can see this happening, where she feels like this is the best way for her to help people, because that's what she's all about, right? This Correct. Entire season has been about trying to get back to Tanis to get to the clones. And even in the other seasons, she has been there to help people. That's her drive. So I could see a path where she does leave them for that type of reason, but we'll see, right? I mean, we'll definitely see. Any thoughts on that real quick, Ange, before I want to get to the fight sequence for sure. Any thoughts on that?
No. No. Go to the fight sequence, because I think Crosshair held his own. I was very impressed.
They weren't bad. I don't think she was going full out on them. Oh, let's no. be real. Be real. But that was some great it looked mocap, and it was spectacular. It was spectacular. I love the different, like, again, the non lightsaber, right? She wasn't attacking him with that. She was just like being like a monk Jedi, man, with just using the Force, right? And just her quickness, her MMA like style fighting,
right?
Hand-to-hand combat stuff. It was fantastic.
You know, it was cool that the Bad Batch was like keeping up. I mean, when was the last time you saw them doing hand-to-hand combat? It's been usually a minute. Like fighting creatures or like shooting something. So that was really cool.
Right. And you can, right. That showed their skills as decent fighters. Cause yeah, they held their own for sure. Right. But of course, Asajj was just whooped them and I loved it. But I just like her, again, just her style fighting. Right. And then when she like went to push, it was, I think it was Wrecker and Hunter. Like she used the force. Right. It was like she was powering up to like just push him down. I just loved all of that. Yeah. And I love that scene when Omega comes back from getting that blossom, her second test. Like you're saying, it was just for her to leave. But Sasha has like Wrecker in a chokehold in the air. She's got a lightsaber to Hunter.
Like and it Omega- looks so it looks so vicious, but if you only knew, like they would already be dead if she was actually vicious, you know?
And that was Omega's point. That was Omega's point after that, because that's when they talked like in the ship and she was like, she could have killed you guys, obviously. Like, let's be real about it. But I love that scene. Yeah, that fight sequence was so good. I love the choreography and just how kind of, again, the hand stuff was really, really cool. We don't really see that a lot, like you're saying. I loved it. And again, that I just like Omega coming back and being like, what did I miss? Like, it was just like... It was like that gif where I think it was, what's his name? Donald Glover comes in. I think it's from Community. And he opens the door and everything's on fire. He has like a pizza box. It was like Omega coming back. Like, what just happened? So yeah, I loved all that. I think they did such a great job with Asajj. And I like, so... How do you feel about not knowing how she survived? I don't care that we don't know about that yet. What's your thoughts?
I don't really care that we don't know. I'm glad she's back. I really am. And I mean, we've always said before, like novels, books are a good medium, but it was a little disappointing that her ending wasn't shown.
Right.
You know, either on film, on TV, however you want to say it. And if you read the end of Dark Disciple again, it's somewhat open. You can feel it as being open. But I know for sure, based off of that dumb Star Wars timeline book that I have, they did mark her death. Whether they changed it in the new versions, I don't know, but I mean, whatever, death is death in Star Wars. And I liked the little line that she had saying, you know, I got a couple lives left in me. So, that was kind of like a recognition of her that, you know, maybe that she had died or whatever happened. So will we find out? I don't know. Do we need to find out? It would be great. I'm not going to hate on getting the information download in one episode.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. I was okay with it because I feel like, number one, this isn't the time or place for that yet. Right? This is the Bad Batch. We're following their story with Omega. And then number two, for me, Asajj isn't one to just share information. Clearly. Right. It's not like she was going to say, oh, yeah, by the way, boys, I died. I came back. I am doing this, this and this. OK, bye. Like, that's not Asajj. Like, this is it's not her character. So, yeah, I do feel like we will get it down the road. I think even Jennifer Corbett and Brad Rao talked about that in recent interviews where they said, you know, yeah, there are more stories to come. Right. And we don't even know. I feel like we might see her one more time in here, possibly. And the reason I say that is because I feel like what could happen is in the end, after I believe they go to Tannis and I think they save all the clones, right? I think that happens. I don't think it's going to be a clone like uprising like on a big scale, but just on Tannis. And I think after they do that, I think Omega will choose and I think she will follow Asajj in doing, I think maybe doing possibly a whole like thing about saving these foreign sensitive kids and everything. I feel like that's where we're going with it. Okay, especially since, again, spoiler alert, kids, again, like we said, we're like four behind. We have seen the next two episodes, so we know
what happens.
Right, so that's why I feel we go that route because of events that we will obviously talk about in the next episode. I think because of events that happen, I think that's the path that Omega chooses. Right, I think that's the path Omega chooses, and I'm okay with it. Like I said, I would love a series of Omega and Asajj Ventress stories. Right, I mean, I am for it. I would love it. Whether that's in a new animated series or whether that's in a Star Wars Tales of to be named yet.
How about Tales of the Empire? Whoa.
That looks good. Well, that's something we'll have to talk about in another episode. We'll talk about that. But I think, again, obviously, if you're reading kind of between the lines of what Jennifer Corbett and Brad Rau were saying, like, yeah, there's more to come with Asajj. This is just part of it. We will get to that. Because I know a lot of people might have been disappointed that we didn't know how she survived yet. But again, I feel, and Andrew, I'll ask you, I'm okay with that. Like, it doesn't matter to me that we didn't get it in this story because it didn't fit this narrative at all. I don't need to know. Yeah.
Not in the Bad Batch.
Right. Just not the time or place. Not the time or place. Do you feel like we'll see her again in this season of Bad Batch?
Maybe. I think might need to utilize her expertise. Maybe she goes back to the people that she's with and discusses what's going on, and they decide, like, oh, we need her. So maybe she gets involved. I don't know.
It'd be interesting. I'd be down for that. I would like her to help out more. I would love more Asajj. I feel like she will. Like I said, I feel like just because of how I, at this moment in time, see the story going, I feel like she'll be back. She'll be back for sure. I'm still on Martez sister watch myself too.
I know you are.
I need him. Bring him back. Bring him back. Bring him back. Hopefully this season we'll see them again for sure.
It was nice to see Fee. It was nice.
Yeah.
Hear Fee mention Tech. So I think we're getting little droplets of Tech. I'll stop there.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, again, I know that's something we talked about last week, too, about speculation and where this could go for some characters. So, Ange, anything else for episode 9, The Harbinger, before we bounce on out?
No, I'm good. Just thoroughly enjoyed these two episodes. They were great.
Very, very good. I agree. Especially Asajj. Since we're big fans, it was great to see her back. And all the information, we'll get it eventually. I like what we got right now, and I'm waiting for the Asajj series when that comes.
I know, right?
Oh, God, it'd be great. It'd be so good. It'd be so, so good. All right, kids, that's it. That's the show. I hope you liked it. You can follow us, the Galactic Podcast, at the Galactic Pod on all the social medias, and we are on Apple Pod, Google Play, Spotify, all the major platforms. And you can follow me, Lauren Romo, at Lauren Knows on all those social platforms as well.
You can follow me, Andrea Gutierrez, at R2D2Step on Twitter, X, whatever it's called, and Instagram.
Any BTS updates, Ange?
No, J-Hope released an album like while he was in the military. So he prepared an album before he went and then decided to release it while he was gone as a gift to ARMY. And I think that is so awesome.
Love that. Love that for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
All right, kids. As always, may the force be with you.
Always.
Always.